Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, good to see you today.
Yeah, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
I know. I miss you when you're not here.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't be here, but I was once again on duty. I know.
Duty calls, and you call, and you answer. So, you know.
I try.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, it's an important job, and you got to be there for it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, after all.
It pays the bills, feeds the kids, keeps the lights on.
Very important thing.
Yeah. And I think about you every time I go up there because, you know, having grown up in Garfield, gone to St. Benedictine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, Cleveland, my daughter was born in the hospital where you work.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And I have fond memories of that hospital.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot less colorful than it was back then.
The other hospital you work at, I almost did residency there.
Right. Yeah. So it's a great place to be, but it's good to be back in studio with you and to have a great show today. You know, we have a very sensitive topic, to say the least, about this. You know, when we look at the literature on post-abortion, okay, what happens to women, men, anybody affected by abortion after the procedure's been done, the side of the choice would try to tell us that there's no effect, that there is no increased evidence of depression, suicide, relationship problems, behavioral issues, those types of things, you know, addictions to drugs, alcohol, those types of things.
Right.
Yet, if you talk to people who I think, you know, will say they're pro-life, but I think take an objective look at these situations and really try to look at the data in the best possible way. And from anecdotal data and just having worked with so many women in my career, I know there's an effect.
Absolutely. The fact of the matter is that you know, the side of pro-abortion you know, cause would say that you know, an abortion is tantamount to an appendix, you know, or a gallbladder or whatever. And that's really disingenuous in you know, this whole argument, because, you know, we know that this is a taking of a human life. And there are lasting effects. You know from, you know, obstetrics and gynecology that, you know, the cells that are residual from the placenta end up being retained in the mother's body. This is not something that happens in a gallbladder or an appendix.
Well, no, and you know, when you take out a gallbladder or an appendix or something like that, typically it's because there is some type of disease process going on. But the vast majority, probably 98%+ of the abortions that are done in the United States are for elective reasons.
Right.
And that's sometimes can be very difficult to deal with. And then later on in life, as life happens, you know, whether it's difficulties with infertility or the pregnancy and having a miscarriage again, it brings back memories and issues that happened before.
Yeah.
But I think worst of all, the thing that really takes away from me, they've already denied the dignity of the child. But when they say there's no post-abortion effect, they deny the dignity of the mother, and they deny the dignity of the father.
Absolutely.
And it makes it very difficult. But, you know, let's, you know, we can talk about this all afternoon, and we have talked about this all afternoon before, but I'd really like to bring in some people who can share their stories and share their experiences, not only with having experienced the abortion, but also the healing that's gone on in their lives after they've been involved in the healing process, especially through the Bethesda Healing Ministry that's part of the Columbus Diocese here. With us in studio, we have Mary Beth, Ellen, and Mike, and we're just going to use their first names out of respect for them and for their stories, and we're going to just talk about this process and what's been going on. And one of the things that was brought up as we were doing the pre-talk for the show is that abortion now is not just sometimes one. It can be many and multiple. And that can have a significant effect on not only the person who's had the abortion, but their partners and the rest of their families. And so we're going to start the show just talking with Mary Beth. And Mary Beth, if you would, please just share kind of your story of how you ended up being in an abortion situation and what led to your decisions and where you've come from since then.
Okay. Well, it started, let me think, back in 1990, around this time of the year, actually, I found out that I was pregnant and I was 20 years old, going to school at Ohio State and dating a man, and found out that I was pregnant and I just could not go home. And so we talked about it numerous times about whether or not we were going to keep the baby or whether we were going to, what we were going to do. And we both just found ourselves in situations that I can only say abortion seemed like the right path or the right choice at the time. So I don't recall who made the call, who set the appointment up or anything of that nature, but we ended up going to a clinic on High Street, and I went. It was like at 7 o'clock in the morning, and when we got there, I just remember going in and I being with a group of other women and going through the pre-process and then being taken back one by one to have the actual procedure done. And it was nothing like what I thought it was going to be. As soon as it was over and I was in like a post-recovery, I mean, you're kind of, at least for me, I was semi-aware of what was going on when the procedure took place. But it hit me afterwards what really I did. And it was just life-changing. And I think it just, I didn't realize it. And the hard part is I had grown up Catholic and had been pretty faithful up until teenage years. And then I felt like I split off from the church after that. And I remember coming back home, well, to the dorm and recovering, and then it just suppressing everything and started to really, my grades plummeted. I just started to drink alcohol just to suppress all of the emotions that were starting to surface. And it was a pretty painful path for a period of time. And then I think I just had shoved it down enough and moved on. Then we fast forward 7 more years and I was dating another man, and found myself in the same situation again. And I had just graduated school and was starting my career as a nurse. And next thing you know, it was a similar scenario. It wasn't that we didn't love each other. It wasn't that we didn't want to have kids. It just felt like that was the right move at the right time. And I kind of shut myself off from bonding with the second baby. The first one I had kind of bonded to, and felt closer. The second one I had kind of just shut off. And then this time around, we went to a different facility because I think the one on High Street had closed. Mm-hmm. And we went to a different doctor, and I received a shot. And I cannot remember the name of the drug that they gave me, but it was like a cancer drug. Mm-hmm. And it sped the abortion up. And I went home and had basically a miscarriage,
right,
for lack of a better word, at right. home. And after that occurred, it just brought up all the old emotions and pain from the first abortion.
So with your first one, I assume that it was a surgical procedure. With the second one, it was more of a chemical or a medical abortion, being
right.
given a shot of medication. But were the emotions afterwards the same? It didn't matter on the type of the procedure?
It didn't. It was just as painful. In fact, the second one, it was twice as bad because everything resurfaced and was intensified.
You mean emotionally?
Emotionally.
Emotionally, as opposed to physically.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Physically, I don't really remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just shut down. And then probably a year later, I went into like a healing program through Heart. It was, I think it's PDHC actually, and went through that twice, and it started my path back to God.
So you weren't in the church. You weren't having any active prayer life at that point.
No, I think after the first abortion, I felt like I was split into two, and I was no longer the person that I was when before I had the abortion.
So did your parents notice anything insofar as the way you behaved or after the first abortion?
Yeah, it's not ironic, but it's interesting. My path, the day that I had my first abortion, I came home, or back to the dorm. I called it home. And as soon as I got back, my mom called. And she said, I've been thinking of you all day. Is everything okay with you? And I just wanted to cry and open up and tell her everything that had happened. But I didn't, because I didn't think that she would understand or have any mercy or compassion on me. Years later, fast forward, I was able to share my story with her. And so
Praise God.
Yeah. Her and my dad and my whole family, they all know. So, yeah, and I did come back to the church, obviously, but it was a process.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Mary Beth. And I want to bring in Mike and Ellen also in on this case. And you mentioned something that I think is very common in the abortion stories. And I used to do a lot of counseling at PDHC and their medical clinic and everything. And I really came to believe that no woman deep down in their heart wants to have an abortion. But you mentioned something, and I'm sure it's very common to everybody. I didn't feel like there was any other option for me, or I felt it was the right choice for me. Why was it the right choice at the time? And, you know, is it common, or is it something that you all experienced that right afterwards you knew it wasn't?
This is Ellen, and right afterwards, immediately, I knew that it was wrong. I remember going to the Father and saying, "My arms are empty," and I just was sobbing at the time, and it just, I knew, and especially when I had my first child, the real birth, and it was. I knew that I had killed my first child. I guess I hadn't really even recognized it. It was just a procedure that was so sterile and wasn't very, you know, earth-shattering like an actual birth.
Sure. Sure. It doesn't have that it has lingering effects, but it doesn't have something you take home with you.
Yeah.
You know. Right, which makes it somewhat of even more of a tragedy. Because you knew you had it, and then it was taken away, right?
Yeah.
Now, Mike, you come at it from a male perspective, and you're on the other side of these women talking when you find out that you've got maybe a pregnancy that wasn't planned, so to speak. I don't like to use that word, because I think if you're having sex, you're planning on getting pregnant. So I don't, in my own profession my own profession as an obstetrician gynecologist, I don't like the term unintended pregnancy unplanned pregnancy. I really don't like that, but because it portends to, you know, these children are never wanted, but they oftentimes are. So tell us your perspective on that.
My situation was I had moved, had a girlfriend, a close girlfriend, and she moved cross country. And after she moved, about 3 weeks later, called and said she was pregnant. You know, I said, well, come back to where I lived at the time and, you know, we'll get married and, you know, have the baby. And she was like, no, that wasn't what she wanted to do. In fact, she said she had gone to the clinic and she'd been told that, she wasn't sure she could carry the baby to full term for some reason. And then I'm not sure that was really what I really wanted. You know what I mean? I knew that was the right thing to do. But as soon as she said, you know, she wanted to get an abortion, you know, I was behind her 100%. We never went back a different direction or had a different conversation. She had the abortion. 6 months later, the relationship ended, and, you know, I mean, it was, as soon as it happened, I think there were actually several years of just pure denial. But once it started to resurface, then it was like I knew I'd done something. Like, as I say, I crossed the line. You know,
right.
I'd gone to a place God would never forgive me for.
Right.
So, Mike, in regards to this, because this is a first for our show. We've kind of, you know, broached the subject in a number of different ways, but it's a first for our show to have a man talk about his abortion experience. Now, how long did it take you to realize that you were that you had helped in this tragedy?
Oh, well, not too long that I realized I had helped, but really it was like almost 30 years, just under 30 years before I realized, you know, the impact it was having on me. And I tried to, you know, I became Catholic, so I confessed, right, my mm-hmm. first confession. And I thought, oh, I'm going to feel great about this when I'm done. And that wasn't the case at all. I mean, mentally, in my head, I understood and believed that Christ had forgiven me in confession, but I didn't really feel a whole lot better about the abortion. I tried to work it off. I was active in a pro-life advocacy and education group. I tried to work it off through penance, mm-hmm. praying in front of abortion clinic, etc. That didn't get it done for me, so I had to back off from that time-wise, and I decided it was time for me to go to Bethesda, where I thought I could get help and find a way to understand that, even though in my head I knew I'd been forgiven, in my heart I wasn't there. You know, I didn't have Christ present and Christ's mercy present in my heart.
Now, Mary Beth, I want to kind of circle in another direction. Now, I realize that this is a one story with three voices.
Right.
Was it easier to go for the second abortion as opposed to the first? And how did that compare? They always say that, you know, sin, once you're enslaved by sin, it's easier to continue down that path. Was it easier the second time?
I think it was easier because I had already been through it and I knew how to numb myself. But it was harder afterwards.
Sure.
Because the post-traumatic stress of it kicked in, and it was, I couldn't drink enough alcohol. I mean, there was a point where I just was like, nothing is numbing it anymore. This is what I am, and this is not who God created me to be.
Sure.
And it was hard.
Sure. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and we're talking about post-abortion healing and the effects of that abortion has on women and men, with Mike here with us. And I want to bring up something that Mary Beth, you said, but I want to hear it from all of you. You know, many times after an abortion, we turn to other things to kind of hide the pain, to hide the emotions, to hide the tattered relationships or anything else like that. So we kind of substitute for that or find some way to make us feel good. When did you start searching for healing or searching for an answer? And what was it you were looking for?
I had reached, a friend had reached out to me a year after my second abortion and said something, you look like you are outside, you look like you're well put together. On the inside, you can just tell you're breaking apart. So I ended up at the heart program through PDHC. And then I was taken, God kind of pulled me and my boyfriend, husband now at the time, away from Ohio. And he healed me out in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is an oxymoron.
Sin City.
And I went through Rachel's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. And then God pulled us right back to Ohio, and I met Judy and right. ended up back in Bethesda a few years later. But Bethesda is where the crux of my healing really took place. God peeled it back layer by layer in the very beginning with both abortions. But for me, I needed to go to Bethesda to get the deep and the continuous, and that's what Bethesda provides.
Right.
So Bethesda is every second and fourth Monday of the month, and it's at 6:30 at the Christ the King. It's like a convent, and they call it Five Porticos. They provide a meal, so a nice warm meal is always there, and dessert always. it's kind of great. And then we go in immediately to the chapel, and we pray, and then we go and have our group, and then you have the option at that point. There's two priests that are there. We have two seminarians and two therapists right now. So we got one heck of a lot of support that can, you know, at any stage that you can possibly be in, you can feel the support that you're given. And I can't say enough good, you know, because everybody comes at different levels. So you've got the people that are first coming and they feel anxiety or depression and they don't know how to handle their emotions. And the good thing is the people that are kind of seniors that have been there can kind of pull them along and just give them, you know, the help that they need as far as feeling God's mercy. And that's huge because you can feel at the end that God will love you and does love you and that your child who is in a state of love does love you also. And that's huge to know that child loves you and is praying for you up in heaven.
Yeah, in terms of for me, this is Mike, getting, you know, what drove me to kind of know that I needed something else, and that was that I have children and grandchildren, and the most wonderful moment of my life is when I have the opportunity to hold or to hug those children. And, you know, I realize that the only way I ever get to hug my child is if I make it to heaven. And I knew I wasn't where I needed to be with Christ. I just wasn't close enough. Like I said, mentally I was there, but in my heart, you know, we weren't connected. And so I knew I needed to get help so I can get there. That was my goal, and that was what ultimately drove me to get there.
Mike, you mentioned during your brief story that you did something you didn't think God could forgive you for.
Right.
And the second was you knew that God forgave you when you went to confession, but you didn't necessarily trust in his mercy.
Right.
What helped you to trust in God's mercy?
Oh, gosh. These guys. being at Bethesda, and it's not something that happens overnight. I mean, I've been going there for almost 2 years in October, and it was from October of 14 until really August or September of 15 before I really kind of had that realization. And God's blessed me with these special moments in my life where I really felt his grace, and I could see I had an epiphany one night at Bethesda that it connected all the dots, and all those things were for me to know that his mercy existed and it was meant for me.
You know, they talk about that in recovery in AA and all the 12-step programs as well, that there's kind of a confluence of all the things, and you connect all the dots, or you put it all together, and that's what true recovery looks like. So I believe that's exactly what you experienced is God just lined it all up for you.
And we laugh because we go at the beginning of the meeting, we give our names and kind of how long we've been coming there and why we're there. And, you know, the first time I went, I thought, well, I'll do this for a few months. And they're going around the room, and this person's been there for 3 years, this person 5 years, this person 9 years. But you're right. I mean, and you peel back the onion, and what you realize after a little while is that that's just going on forever, right? You just always are finding something new. And it's, I just can't say enough about it's mostly women, and I just can't say enough about how, open they have been to receiving me and welcoming me in and listening to me and sharing and loving me, you know, it's just been a fabulous thing for me.
Well, I think what's important to hear from your story, Mike, is that abortion is a two-sided thing.
Definitely.
And one of the things that was coming to my mind, and we don't have much time to talk about this, but is you know, we all want, in a post-abortion syndrome, we want forgiveness from the child. We want our child to forgive us and to know that we're sorry and that we love them. And I don't know for you women if you felt you needed to seek forgiveness from your partners or your husbands, whoever they were. But many times for men, they want to seek the forgiveness of the woman that they put into that situation. Who did you need to be for? Who did you need to receive forgiveness from?
Yeah, that's a great. I mean, I needed to receive forgiveness from Christ, right? That was number one, and I think from the woman involved, it was seeking forgiveness. And then after a while, you peel back the onion and you realize you're really still pretty angry about the whole thing because it's right. not your decision,
and you gotta forgive you.
Yeah,
you got to allow yourself to forgive yourself.
Right, that's absolutely right.
It's always right. important.
Well, we want to thank Mary Beth, Alan, and Mike for coming in and sharing their stories. I think this has hopefully been very powerful for people. And I want anybody out there who may be suffering from post-abortion trauma or not feeling just right, feel they need to talk to somebody, I want you to consider going to Bethesda Healing Ministry or to Rachel's Vineyards or to some of the other healing
Ellen,
ministries.
Ellen, those meetings?
Second and fourth at Christ the King or Five Porticos.
And there's a number.
Second and fourth Monday.
And there's a number that you can call at any point that you, if need be, at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's somebody to talk to. So
there is, and I think you can find that at their website. But we want to thank you for coming on.
Give it to her one more time. All right.
Okay. It is 614-309-2651.
And somebody will answer that. We want to thank you again for coming on. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, son.